Greetings, fans and listeners. I'm your host, Stephen Haller, and welcome to Inside the Strategic Mind. Our topic today is public relations. We'll be going over what public relations means and giving examples of good and bad practices. Now, public relations, or PR as we call it in the biz, simply means handling the flow of information between the public and an organization or an individual. Information about an organization is mostly spread through media, such as journalist publications like the Washington Post or the New York Times. So if you do PR for a corporation, then you have to manage journalists who want access to information on your company. You act as a gatekeeper to information and as a gatekeeper to the company's employees that journalists want to interview. But at the same time, you also want to act as a good resource for journalists as well. Now, one aspect of PR involves responding to a crisis. Crisis communication is a PR subdivision designed to protect and defend an individual or organization facing a public challenge. It's probably the broadest term we can put on that. If your organization is responsible for something the general public would view poorly or does something scandalous, how you respond to that crisis with PR is considered crisis communication, although sometimes a crisis stems from other organizations like competitors. For example, if two competitors to your organization are poised to merge, then that is something that threatens your own organization. So you want to respond with good PR practices. So here's an example of some good PR. In 2011, American Telephone and Telegraph, or AT&T, and Telecom Mobile, or T-Mobile, were taking the steps to merge. By merging, they would have control of an almost domineering amount of what's called spectrum. A spectrum is like cell phone real estate. It's the waves in the air that are emitted by the towers controlled by cell phone corporations. So if AT&T and T-Mobile were to merge, then they would have a control over an exorbitant amount of that. Now, I spoke with a PR official that specializes in crisis communication at Sprint. This merge obviously would be detrimental for Sprint. But he said Sprint would lose every time if it went head-to-head with AT&T. Remember, AT&T used to have a monopoly on the phone lines until it was forced to split up in the early 80s under antitrust laws. So my contact at Sprint made the case that the merge was not good for the public. The Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, was examining the merge to determine whether or not the merge would be allowed. So my contact would get information from Sprint's legal department that helped make the case for why the merge was not good for the public, and then he would feed it to his media contacts. He wouldn't directly go to the SEC himself. He fed it to his media contacts at various publications, so that way the information the SEC was getting was coming from unbiased, credible news sources, and not competitors of the potential merging companies. So when he called his media contacts, he would simply give them information about how AT&T and T-Mobile merging would affect the public and their customers and any consumer of cell phones and cell phone products. And then the journalist would look at it and be like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. I must write about this. I cannot believe that this would happen if AT&T and T-Mobile were to successfully merge. And then, of course, that information got to the SEC. Among other factors, the SEC ultimately decided that it would not allow the merge between AT&T and T-Mobile. So this PR official I spoke to was very proud that he helped block the merger and, quote, left no fingerprints, end quote. This tactic was very effective and very strategic, if I might point out. He achieved the goal of protecting his company while hindering the competition. Now, that's an example of good PR. An example of bad PR is the initial response that British Petroleum had for its oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico back in 2010. The initial spill was in April of that year, but the PR response that followed was poorly handled. For example, British Petroleum, better known as BP, initially told reporters that the rig was leaking 1,000 barrels of oil a day. However, the real figure turned out to be 5,000 barrels per day. And even at the time, a BP spokesperson downplayed the number as, quote, somewhere between 1,000 and 5,000 barrels, end quote. So that hurt their credibility early on. From that point, it was unclear how trustworthy BP really was. And this also violates a general rule of crisis communication, which is never speculate an answer. If you know, say so. But if you don't know, then say you don't know, because, much like the oil in the Gulf, the truth will always surface. Trust is one of the hardest things to earn back with consumers, but it's the easiest thing to lose. When consumers do not trust a company, then the sales take a serious dive. BP also tried to deflect blame for the accident, also an ill-advised tactic. BP's first press release after the spill emphasized that the oil rig belonged to a drilling contractor and that BP offered its full support, implying that BP was not at fault. BP then tried to distinguish between blame for the accident and responsibility for cleaning up after it. The CEO, Tony Hayward, said on the Today Show, quote, "It wasn't our accident, but we are absolutely responsible for the oil, for cleaning it up," end quote. Now, on its face, that is true. BP owns the oil, but the rig belongs to a company called Transocean. However, this is a poor strategy because the public already viewed BP as responsible. The public is buying gasoline from BP, not Transocean. Transocean is not necessarily in the general public's eye. A better strategy would be to take the fall to maintain the public's trust and work out alleging blame behind closed doors at a later date, which it did when BP sued Transocean a year later for $40 billion. But deflecting blame when it's your oil spilling into the Gulf at a high rate is a horrible tactic because consumers will not want to purchase your product anymore if they don't think they can trust you. So, fans and listeners, as we conclude today's podcast, let's go over what lessons PR professionals can take away from this episode. Number one, use journalists as a tool when you can. You want to accomplish your goals against your competition, but as my contact at Sprint said, don't leave fingerprints. Using the media is a great way to accomplish that. Number two, be honest with the public. Trust is the easiest thing to lose and the hardest thing to build up. As we learned from BP, trying to lie about figures hurts reputation, and the truth always comes out. And number three, do not deflect blame. When BP's oil poured into the Gulf of Mexico, attempting to deflect the blame to Transocean hurt BP's public image. When you know your company is at fault, own up and take it. You're less likely to come off as a villain and more likely to garner some sympathy. Well, that's the show for today. Join us next week when we will discuss marketing versus selling and explain how the two differ. I'm Stephen Haller, wishing you all a wonderful week. Thank you for listening to Inside the Strategic Mind.